So, that last episode missed, I think. Completely missed.
Whoa. That, what? Really? We have just got done watching The Last of Us, episode 9, and you're not a fan?
I mean, I'm sitting there feeling... So I have to relate this to when I played the game, and that, okay. that final part of the game... You know, you're all the way in, you feel it, the emotion is built all the way through the game to that point, to that very key point, and I think the way it was
it was
Joel saving Ellie.
So the hospital scene, not the final conversation.
Not the final conversation, for me, the hospital scene, I think the last few episodes, the kind of tension has kind of dropped a little bit. Which I've been fine with. The episodes have still been really high quality. Yeah. I know the last episode was quite intense, but I just think that final, let's say the final mission when you're playing the game, is the whole reason why I started looking on the ability of video games a lot differently. Like, that was him, the decision he makes to save Ellie, and then the kind of how difficult it was for him to do. I think. Builds that tension and that emotional connection to that decision that he makes about saving her life.
You think that didn't come through in the TV series?
I think it came through as it was almost a montage 5 minutes. It wasn't difficult, you know. So he wakes up, he's taking a bash to the head, Ellie's getting prepped for surgery, and even if they didn't do it in the game, I'm thinking maybe she gets wheeled past while he's in the room, and he sees her gets wheeled past. Like he sees her in the gown get wheeled past. Like it's, and he's trapped in that room with those four or five guards, and he feels like there's nothing he can do. And I think it didn't miss much. But I didn't feel that kind of, like, it was that big of a deal.
The immediacy, sense of urgency, him, he has to go and see.
Yeah, that there's a time limit. We knew there was a time limit. If you've played the game, you know it's a big deal and a time limit.
It kind of felt as though that it was hinging on us as an audience already knowing what's coming, what's happening. I felt like this lent more into the ramifications of Joel's decision to save Ellie rather than the immediacy or the urgency of the situation. Because I guess that is going to come through in a video game when you're the player and you've got to get through that mission or whatever. That's an important aspect. In this, I guess it wasn't as much. I think it sacrificed that sense of urgency for a more emotive perspective on what Joel was doing. Which worked for me, you know, the music, the slow motion, the taking the sound out of like gunshots firing silently. Like, it became that kind of disassociative experience that you assume sort of Joel's having in that moment. And for me, that worked really well. I think there's another example. That scene is another example of the TV series doing better than the game. Than the original story. Well, it's the same story, but the original.
I see that point, but and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's my fault for being geared towards, you know, not necessarily things going out of a bang, but I just know how, like, involved I felt when playing the game, and that was the last thing I had to do. And it's like the last thing he has to do. And I completely understand the way they delivered it around the kind of emotive response, him realizing what he's doing and just kind of getting it done and, you know, and almost not thinking about it too much. And maybe it was like, yeah, the viewer, don't think about it too much. Focus more on the decision he's making as opposed to what's actually happening. I felt like it was... for me... There was an opportunity to really kind of, even though the episode had 10 minutes after that where it all kind of wound back down and they're in the car together and it's silent and she knows that something's up and he knows that she knows and she asks, like, all of that, everything after the hospital was perfect. Everything before the hospital was kind of perfect. during, like, that hospital scene for me, there was your opportunity to kind of, I think, to leave. People aren't going to forget this TV series. It's an excellent, excellent TV series. But there was your final opportunity to add that last bit of drama that people go, wow, that hospital scene.
Sorry.
Right, keep going, it's okay.
I don't know. I agree, but I mean, listen, to, coming back to, we'll leave episode 9 for a minute. We'll come back to that. But I think all of the criticism of this TV series that I've come across at all so far has been based on a comparison to the game.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, in every sense, every time that I've heard anybody or read anything criticising the series, it's been stuff around its deviation from the video game. An example being what you didn't like about that last episode in the hospital scene. A lot of people have talked about Bella Ramsey playing Ellie not being like Ellie of the game. Obviously there's episode 3 and a couple of other examples of extreme variation from the actual story as well. But generally speaking, I think if you look at this TV series, if you look at The Last of Us HBO on its own as a TV series, standalone piece, it's pretty flawless, in my opinion. I've not enjoyed something like this in a while.
Yeah, no, and that was one of the points I wanted to make as well. I think the emotion throughout this series, I don't ever get to feel that very often when I'm watching TV these days, but this show has really kind of nailed that in a way, and I think it's even more impressive because the viewer knew what was going to happen, really. So it's even more impressive that they've been able to get that kind of raw emotion and feeling out of the audience when watching. Well, I mean, I hope that's what the audience has got, because that's what I've got. The buff to what you've just said, I think episode 9 followed the game too closely.
I actually agree with that, thinking about it. I think it's over, but that's the most accurate to the game episode.
Yeah, like the beauty of this TV series is that it's followed the game structure really well, but taken, you know, adding in its own drama, making things feel realer than they realer than they were in the game. But the last episode, I don't want to say felt rushed. I just felt like they didn't. Yeah, I'm open for them to make those changes, and I was open for them to kind of deviate from the game a little bit, and that's what I enjoyed so much about it.
For them to kind of go.
This was the last. It felt like I just played the last mission in the game on easy difficulty.
Yeah.
That's what that felt like for me.
A question just occurred to me when we were talking. That do you think you would have enjoyed this TV series as much if you had never played the game, didn't know the story at all? This was your first encounter with the world of The Last of Us and the characters.
Do you think you would have enjoyed it as much?
Or would you have had a completely different experience? I mean, I imagine it would have been completely different, but my
answer to that, again, I actually think is quite unique, because I'm not a zombie apocalypse guy usually. So I'd originally say no, but this is like my favourite thing from that kind of genre when I was playing the game anyway. So it was, you'd already won with me before you even showed the series. But I would say that the series was so good that you could, even not playing the game, you could still enjoy it.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right about that.
Which is why people might enjoy the last episode more than I did.
Yeah.
You know?
It kind of comes back to what we were talking about last week with Creed. I said, this is another example of something that's already got its hooks in its audience. You know, like the minute that this was advertised, I knew I was watching it.
Yeah.
Because The Last of Us, I mean, when did the game come out? It was over a decade ago. And it's loved by gamers and non-gamers. It's loved by people who, you know, there are plenty of people that have never played the game and know the story, have seen playthroughs of you know, well... Yeah, I mean, it's really stood the test of time as far as a video game story goes, and it is held up as
well. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, well,
ten years ago, And it goes to show maybe there's a future as well for, you know, games that have been written to become. Maybe there's an appetite for it.
Maybe that you could be right about that.
Because there was The Witcher on Netflix, which I thought was decent.
See, I didn't.
This was a level up and a half on that, though.
So to add to what I've just said, though, the thing about The Last of Us, the video game, was always for me. I always felt like, because of flaws with the gameplay and a handful of other things, I always felt as though it maybe should always have just been a TV series. In a way, I don't think the video game was the right medium to tell this story with.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. A big one is the disconnect between the game space, the playable periods, the playable sections, and the story space.
Mm.
So what the characters do essentially in the cutscenes and what the characters do in the story. And I think Joel is a good example of an arc that's undermined by the gameplay. Because as the player, you play as Joel and you're forced to essentially murder your way through sections of different cities, and you know, as Joel and Ellie travel across America, yet in the story is focused around Joel's redemption from a history of murderous violence.
Yeah.
And those two things contradict each other a little bit. And I think when you've played as Joel and you've lost count of the bad guys that you've killed and overcome to get that far, the scene at the end in the hospital when he massacres all of the hospital workers and the Fireflies to save Ellie, that has less of an impact when, as a player, you've been doing those kind of actions
yeah.
for hours up to that point.
Yeah.
This worked so much better. This, you know, it's a singular perspective. Joel isn't, you know, you're not forced to murder a million people. Joel only comes across a handful of people he's got to overcome, and that meant that that crucial scene at the hospital had way more power, way more of an effect. And I think that's always been the question. You know, a lot of people that know the story of The Last of Us from the video game never actually played it. Mm. I know, and that's probably, you know, that's probably statistically not accurate, but I do wonder whether it always should have just been a TV series, because this, to me, was so much better than what the game was, story-wise, character-wise as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the criticism on the episodes that were the episodes in the series that weren't in the game or when you were playing it, I think the criticism of that's completely misguided. I think HBO and the writers, I think it's absolutely amazing how there's, on four or five different occasions, there's been episodes involving these completely unique characters, and you've completely bought onto their story in a 40-minute period,
yeah.
and they've come in and they've gone within that 40 minutes, and you've felt everything that they felt, and I mean what a skill that is to kind
it's
of.
It's an example of that short storytelling that we were talking about last week as well.
So it's possible.
There's Henry and Sam. I mean, granted, they get two episodes, but
yeah,
there's the one big episode, episode 5, with the bloater and Sam's, well, both their death.
Yeah.
But obviously the standout in terms of deviation from the original story is episode 3, which is one of the few that you and I watched together. Bill and Frank in Billtown. I mean, that completely diverts from what those characters or where those characters were in the story. I mean, in the game, Frank never even appears.
Yeah.
He's a sort of collectible letter or something where you can fill in a little bit backstory if you like, but in this you get almost, you know, an entire section of his life. They meet Bill, he meets Bill, you get this romantic period, or there's this romantic relationship play out across decades, presumably. And it's, I mean, for me, it was one of the most powerful episodes.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved it. I almost forgot that it was in the world of The Last of Us at all. You don't attach it to those to the context of, you know, the cordyceps and the infection and Joel and Ellie. I was just wrapped up in the story of Bill and Frank,
who, to
quite an extent, were brand new characters, especially Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. I mean, at the end of episode 3, we watched 1, 2, and 3 together. At the end of episode 3, the emotion that was drawn out of that Bill and Frank episode, I didn't know if I could watch the whole series because that episode with Bill and Frank was just, it was mind-blowing. It was unexpected. The actors they got to play those roles were just amazing.
Yeah, this is a career standout for Nick Offerman, isn't it? Like he's usually a comedic actor, and to put him in a role like this is incredible. And he was brilliant. He killed it. Timing, how believable he was in the role. And obviously Murray Bartlett as well. To me, that's exactly the kind of deviation from the story, you know, that fleshes it out, and expands on it, and makes it so much better, that I was hoping for and looking for when going into watching a TV adaptation of a story that I already know and love.
Yeah, no, I think there are so many plaudits for this TV series. It was really, really good. It, you know, despite, you know, me opening and saying the last episode missed, that it's going to be one of those TV series that, I mean, it's one series, so, you know, I worry for any future series, because the way that this has been received, it feels by, like, the general population, I feel like a lot of people have tuned in and watched this, like an awful lot.
I think I've heard rumours it's already been confirmed for a season two.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, or I really don't know, it probably has, but, The Last of Us 2... Let's not even touch that.
Yeah,
that's a whole.
The thing is, you always get lots of, you know, you get lots of shows that do lots of series. You know, their first series, you know, exploded, so they do another one and another one, and things get dragged out. And I think that there is a risk that The Last of Us as a TV series might get dragged out as well and last longer than it should.
It depends on whether sticks to following the
games or not. Yeah. So, but I think we can kind of leave that, you know, in the future for now, and just take this series for what it was. And it was just excellent. It's easily the best series I've seen in a couple of years.
It's consistently gripping, heartbreaking, and horrifying.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the story of The Last of Us revolves around that moment at the end, you know, the relationship between Joel and Ellie, and that crucial moment at the end where Joel damns all of humanity to save Ellie.
Yeah.
And that's so, and it's such a divisive moment, because
do you think, you know, it will be divisive though, because
it has been,
right?
The story's been out for 10 years, you know, or more than that. Whenever the game first came out, it's been divisive since then. You've got people saying Joel's one of their favourite video game protagonists ever. You've got other people saying he's objectively a monster.
That's a great conversation to have. Enough, yeah.
But that is, I mean, that, well, there you go. Do you think Joel was right to say, based on this, on the TV series, we'll try and separate them a little bit, because we're reviewing what we've just watched.
I think
Joel was right to do what he does at the end, kill the Fireflies and save Ellie.
Yeah, but, well, no, I would say he is wrong, but to have done all that. But at the end of the day, Joel and Ellie, and the only thing the game and the TV series can't capture is the amount of time Joel and Ellie have spent together. And if, you know, because I think it's over a period of years, or 6 months.
I'm not actually sure, but
6 months, a year, where they're together every single day.
Well, they travel across, pretty much on foot across, you know, the United States,
and
it's a good length of time.
So, this is fiction, but two, you can't say in any way that, I feel like, I don't know if anyone would do the same. You know, they take a child across America to save the world. They've gone through so much bad stuff for them, with them. The child has saved their life a number of times. They've saved the child's life a number of times. They've seen so much together. They've been through so much together. They've bonded, you know, and then he's got to hand the child over, and they're just going to die to save humanity. That you probably can't even see a future for humanity at that moment in time. You know, if you're used to that life for 25 years, and now you're going to kill you're going to hand over the only person you've actually connected with within that, like, 25 years to kind of rebuild and regrow, and like, he, of course, he's done the wrong thing, but how could anyone make an alternative decision?
Yeah, I think a lot of criticism of the game was that, as because you play as Joel as the protagonist for the majority of the story, or majority of the time, it's hard to emphasize with him, as because he makes such a isolating decision at the end. So because he makes such a polarizing decision at the end, he damns all of humanity in one sort of in one action. And as the player, you kind of supposed to be project, or I think naturally project yourself onto the protagonist a little bit more than you would, say, you're watching a movie or a TV series. So I think that, I think some people had a problem with that. Again, it works better in this format. It works better as a TV series because you're watching Joel's character. You're not trying to project yourself onto him. You're watching his character develop, and you're watching his relationship with Ellie evolve from, you know, reluctantly looking, you know, protecting her as they cross the country, to her becoming a kind of surrogate daughter who replaces the daughter he loses at the beginning. And to put, and you know, you see him end up in that position where he's potentially going to have to lose a second daughter. He's going to have to go through that grief and trauma, that unimaginable trauma again. And in that sense, you think, well, how could he make any other decision than the one that he does make?
Which is yeah, and I think you know the way what you described there is, and that's where I think the TV series just missed that on the final episode. Because that, and I think, you know, criticism might come because of that. I think it is obvious the kind of, because of Pedro Pascal's performance, the way that he kind of portrayed that kind of character arc, that change in attitude, the change in, you know, almost his values towards the end of the series. You could tell that he was maybe gearing to make some kind of decision like that to protect her at any cost. But I think there was room for a little bit more desperation in that last episode, you know, where he, where's that real realization that he's about to lose a daughter again, you know, and just to kind of really hit home in that last episode that he's making such a, you know, he's making such, like you say, a polarizing decision. And I think that there was maybe a 30 seconds or 1 minute of, you know, Joel needs to sit with that decision and we all need to feel that decision with him during that episode.
That
is my only criticism of the whole series.
Wow.
Because I cannot find any other, you know, even the episodes that were slower, you know, in the middle, you know, maybe episode 6 and 7, I feel like I needed them to slow down at some point because I couldn't go through the emotion I was going through every episode. Like the series was paced perfectly.
Yeah.
And you know, apart from, I would say, the blemish at the very end where he has to make such a polarizing decision. And I don't necessarily think they quite got it across the screen.
I felt that scene in the hospital at the end did lean more towards portraying Joel as the monster rather than the sympathetic hero.
Yeah.
But I think that's the right choice. I think that's what the majority of viewers probably will be seeing him as in that situation.
A monster
with no choice. He's forced into taking the action, monstrous action, as we say. I think maybe a weak point for me in this series was episode 7, the Boston QZ flashback, Ellie and Riley,
right,
in the Fedra Academy. Riley's left to become a firefly. They run off for the night. That whole backstory of Ellie. I didn't know. I don't know if it needed to take a whole episode to do.
I don't. Okay, so I think I see what your point is, but I'll disagree because I think there was a lot around that for me. That episode, there was this underlying tone of something. We know something's going to go down at the end of this episode, and I think again. They took the time throughout the episode to build that, you know, real sweet, nice relationship between Ellie and Riley, where you know they built that relationship up throughout the episode, and you kind of knew at the end it was all going to kind of be ripped away.
But again, I'm watching
this
from...
And the way it was ripped away, I thought it was a solid episode. You know, it wasn't my favourite episode. I'm not going to, like... You know, I'm not going to be talking about it in 5 years' time, that episode in particular. I'm probably going to be talking about the Bill and Frank episode in 5 years' time. But...
Yeah, I won't forget that.
It's the pacing of the series as well, and I think it kind of ramped up a little bit after that again. I was fine with it. I didn't really see a problem. I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed the performance from Riley and Ellie, whoever... Riley is,
and I'm not sure.
But you know, I enjoyed that performance. I thought it was cool. I know it was a DLC in the game. Like I never experienced.
I'm not sure if it was DLC or some kind of extra. But yeah, I mean, it was a playable section of the game because it is kind of crucial.
So why don't you think it needed an episode, or why don't you think it kind of hit the way it should have?
Well, I think in terms of, you know, the things that happen and its relevance to the story, I think it's important. But I don't know if it needed an entire episode because it didn't flesh out the world that much, or their relationship ultimately isn't, or the things that they get up to that night, you know, messing around in the mall. I don't think it's that important.
Do you think that was a bit of filler?
I don't think it's that relevant. It, I don't want to call it filler. I don't want to call it filler, but I would say that there were moments in that, or scenes in that episode, that weren't economical and crucial.
Mm.
In the way that every other scene in every other episode was.
Yeah.
Now I'm nitpicking to the extreme here. Like, it was still a really enjoyable episode. I'm just saying it was, for me, the weakest point in a series that I'm still probably going to give 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting one.
No, but genuinely, across the board, absolutely brilliant. I thought Bella Ramsey actually. And, you know, and Pedro Pascal, I think the two of them actually made Joel and Ellie better and more believable than the characters they were in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which might be a controversial thing to say. I've already heard criticism of Bella Ramsey's acting. Well, I think that's misguided.
Yeah, I think it's misguided. I mean, I actually said to you at the start of the series, I can't get over how different Bella looks to Ellie in the game.
Mm.
But, you know, give it... I mean, after, pretty much soon after that, episode 4, 5, and 6, I mean, I've personally completely forgotten Ellie as the character in the game, yeah. The way she's depicted. Ellie is now Bella Ramsey to me. I think Bella Ramsey has nailed it, absolutely nailed
that role. Agree.
And I think that any criticism of her is completely unfair, and I don't think Pedro Pascal should get any criticism for anything he does, because it all seems to be gold, in my opinion.
He's having a good year for his career, isn't he?
You know, the only other point I had to make was, I think it's time for someone to write a film for Pedro Pascal so he gets an Academy Award, because that guy needs... You know, that's what a lot of films do, though, don't they? You know, and I think Pedro Pascal's time is well and truly here to pick up, you know, real big time recognition for how good he is, because he's unbelievable. He's really, really good. And
to make an already loved character deeper, more understandable, just better, I think, just more convincing in every way. Like this Joel in the series is already, I mean, he's softer from the start, just that little bit. Obviously the story is about Joel softening over time, but this was more convincing because it felt like it happened so suddenly in the game. It kind of happens overnight, almost in a scene that you don't see. Whereas this whole, every moment of screen time with Bella and Pedro together was gearing towards, was slowly evolving the two of them to become the, reliant relationship that they are.
Mm.
And that was perfect. That was done perfectly, I think. So yeah, 10 out of 10 for The Last of Us for me.
Yeah, I think I can't criticise Happy Valley's final episode the way I did without and then do the same for this and not kind of mark it down a little bit. I mean, it's 9.5 for me.
We're giving 0.5s.
We're going to have to give 0.5s because 9 is like excellent, but there's this one, it wasn't a big blemish. I just felt like that ninth episode, I was ready for them to really, you know, give me a blow and, you know, knock the wind out of me.
Yeah.
With that hospital scene. And I think the way they'd built the 8 episodes before, it was there to do. It was easy to do. And I just
I felt they did it well.
So I'm 9.5, you're 10. But yeah. At the end of the day, if you haven't watched this, I mean, we're assuming you have, but if you haven't watched this series, this is definitely one to, I mean, I'll remember this forever, this series, easily.
Yeah, it is.
I've played the game. I've watched the series. That's the thing. Those are the things.
So emotionally gripping. And I think, I mean, you know, I do feel a little bit bad for Happy Valley, only giving it a 9 and giving this a 10. When
Happy Valley, the thing is though, in isolation, Happy Valley series 1's probably a 10.
Yeah,
this is going to fall in quality.
That's the thing.
This is going to drop.
If they follow the story that The Last of Us Part 2 gave us, then I expect a massive drop in quality.
You know, this is like, give it 3 years and this is like a 7 out of 10 show. Yeah. For what it is right now, yeah, it's
well, in terms of perfect, in terms of my enjoyment, say, you know, yeah, like, exactly. I enjoyed this, you know, in terms of how much I enjoyed this series, that's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I would say the same for Happy Valley's first 2 seasons.
Exactly.
Season 3 was great, but there was that blemish at
the end. And there's that drop off, and I think it will happen for this, but as we're recording now, let's just say, you know, let's say it how it is. It was exceptional.
And I would have always said that for the game as well. Last of Us Part 1 story is a 10 out of 10. Part 2 it's a mess, but we're trying not to touch that. I think in a way the writers here and the directors had a little bit of an easier time, because the story was already there. They'd already written it. Same writers. They'd already written it. They were fleshing it. It was, I believe. Yeah, Neil Druckmann was involved in both the game and this, I think, and Craig Mazin. But they were fleshing out a story that they'd already completed and was already widely loved.
Yeah,
it is such a brilliant story. It's so simple. It's fantastic. So yeah,
there we are. The Last of Us.
No more.